I was 19 when I joined up, and the draft was going on at that time. And the draft is done by your birthdays, and so there's 365 days in a year. And if you were, when they pulled the numbers and by your birthdays, if you were number 350, you didn't have to worry about getting drafted. If you were number one through about 150, you pretty much knew you were. And if you were the six out of 365. So I knew that I was gonna get drafted, and I didn't wanna go over there. I had no problems in going over to Vietnam, but I didn't wanna end up out in the jungles and fighting hand-to-hand combat if I didn't have to. And so I decided to get an education at the same time, and I went to the Air Force because they promised you an education. And they give you three choices of what field you wanted to go into. And I was going to an automotive school at the time. And I had decided that I didn't really want to do that, but the thought of being an aircraft mechanic really kind of enticed me. And so I thought that would be cool. So that was my number one choice. And I can't remember what the other two were, but the last one was the field that I ended up going into.
What was your first impression of Vietnam? Going from Taiwan and Thailand to Vietnam, what was your first impressions there?
Yeah, I love Taiwan and I really love Thailand. They're really pretty, but going to Tan Sanut in Vietnam, I think I told you this before, but when you walk off the plane, it has just a total smell of death in the air. I mean, because death was everywhere around there. And when we were talking before, it brought back a memory that I had put out of my mind, but this was shortly after we got there, being out on the, we used to go out on the flight line all the time to work on the planes. And I came across the back end of a plane that was had the tailgate down, and there was body bags with dead air, army guys and airmen in there that was stacked like three feet high. And from what I could tell, it just went through all the way up to the front of the airplane. And it's a war zone, and people died, and a lot of people died over there. And I can't remember the exact amount. I know it was over 45,000 people that died over there. But you could just, it was a whole different feeling, and people just didn't care. And I guess they had seen so much death. And before we were there in our war with North Vietnam, the French were there right before us. And I think they were there for, correct me if I'm wrong, about 6 years. The feeling was just, it was total despair over there. People just didn't care. And it was like, not zombies, but as close to it as you can in just normal everyday life, that they were just kind of going through. But there was so much death everywhere that it was really sad. And it was totally different from the beauty of the other countries that I had seen over there.
What was life like on base?
Went to sleep at night, and you got up and you would, the showers were always cold water. They didn't have any hot water there whatsoever. So the cold water felt good when you woke up, and it was so hot and humid. It was very humid. And it felt kind of good, but when winter came, there was no heat in the barracks whatsoever, and it was cold.
How cold did it get?
I think it was down like in the 30s and 40s, if I remember right.
So 30 degrees outside, and then you go take a cold shower.
Yeah, it won't kill.
That would get, that would get you ready to go to work.
Showers were a lot quicker back then. So, but and then you just go to work and do your job, come back, and it's just an open barracks. So there was bunk beds everywhere within probably 4 feet of each other. And you just either read or listened to music, whatever it may be. But I think they were all long shifts. I think I could be wrong, but it seemed like it was 10-hour shifts that we were doing all the time. But it was just, you know, life in the military is kind of like life anywhere. It's just more confined. So
how do you sleep with planes and that going all night?
You just get used to it. So, I mean, we weren't that far off from the flight line, but you just, like anything else.
Just hear a roar all night, you just tune it out. And
you know, we used to live up in Layton here in Utah, and planes take off all the time and land all the time, and you could be in the middle of a conversation and you just stop talking and wait for the plane to go by, and then you resume your talking again. That's the way it was off the flight line.
I know we talked a little bit before, just that it was a closed base.
Yeah.
That it was dangerous to be out and about.
It was extremely dangerous to be out on the flight lines. And they would have armed guards there all posted all around. And like your picture shows, that there are sandbags and little huts that they would go into. But the Viet Cong were just everywhere. And most of the time you never saw them or never heard of them. But every once in a while they would try and get on base and you'd hear a shootout. They used to send kids, and mostly females, and then some kids, and they would strap a bomb to their chest, and they had these pins sticking out all over the bomb, and they were told to run up and run into an airplane or whatever else was big, and it would hit it, and they would blow up the planes. And I heard at least 10 planes blow up from these guys, but the guards out on the flight lines, they would look for them. Well, you did good.
So I'll try.
And they were told to shoot them dead on sight, because they were, their whole job was to go and blow up something, and it would be anywhere from 5-year-old kids to adults, and it was really sad. And I even saw a few of them while I was out on the flight line. And they would tell us immediately to alert the security guards to them, but to not go near them.
Did you just see them walking across the field? Like
running? On the flight lines and trying to get to the planes.
How do you even react to that?
You always have to be on guard for it. And that was just a way of life. And it was, we were at war. So, and luckily, I didn't have to deal with them individually. But, you'd hear the security guard shoot down, and then they'd haul them off. And
so the aftermath would be...
Yeah, exactly. So you've got a picture of a C-130 there, half blown up, and that's where it came from. So that is
exactly what it would look like, huh?
Yep. There was also F-4 fighter jets there out there on the flight line too, and they were the main target because the F-4s were out there, swooping in and killing everybody, and so. It was just dangerous. I mean, we had a pretty good compared to the Army guys, but we had our danger spots too. And it was just there. And you just had to be wary of it.
So how often did you see planes come in blowing up
all the time. So, I mean, we used to drive around on the flight line, and I used to sneak pictures of them. And we weren't allowed to take them, of course, but, you know, 19-year-old kid, you're going to do what you want to do.
Pictures.
And everything. But come in, and I had a couple pictures of F-4 jets that the whole tail was just blown off. I mean, just totally gone. And how they made it back, I don't know. And they would come in with the wingtips totally blown off right up to, you know, some of the engines. And they were just shredded everywhere. And we had our planes, the C-130. I would, when I was working at night, we used to watch them come in. And because their missions were usually at night, because it was the most safe for our guys. And that's how they would target them. But I don't know how many planes I saw come in totally shot up with over 500 bullet holes in the wings, and water, not water, but gas was just pouring out from all these bullet holes. And they couldn't do anything until it was drained out of the flight line. Then they come in and wash everything off and then home off and repair them. And I saw personally at least five or six C-130s that were just about ready to land and just blew up and disintegrated. They were just gone. They were so shot up that they just couldn't make it back. And they made it back to the just right above, you know, 6 feet off the ground getting ready to land. And they just totally blew up and just a huge, huge fireballs. And then you think about, you know, those are our guys inside there, and those are our pilots and the crew. And it does things to you. It messes you up. So.
What kind of effects have you had? Obviously, that does some things to you. You know, you were on base, but what kind of things does that do to your thinking for the rest of your life?
Well, at that time, it made you scared. And, I mean, you're scared for your life, but it hardens you. So, I mean, it just makes you where you don't care as much, you know. And it took a long time to get over that. So, I mean, now I don't have any problems with it, but it took a long time. And it affects you the way you react to things, what you think about things, and how you look towards life. And so it changes you. So luckily I have a great wife, and she, you know, we have a great relationship, and 5 great kids and 12 grandkids and 1 great grandchild. And I am very blessed. So very blessed. But it can screw you up. And you know, you look at, people don't understand when these guys come back from war zones. And like I said, I had it pretty easy being in the Air Force compared to the Army. But it can screw you up, and some people never get out of it. So
when you came home, what was your reaction? Or what was the reaction of people to you when you came back?
Vietnam was a very unpopular war, and there was all kinds of protests going on, and people looked down on you. I mean, you're over there fighting for your country and for everybody's freedoms, and you come back and they look at you. I never had this, but a lot of people got spit on, and you can just tell they're looking down on you like scum. And which is totally wrong, because we were there fighting for everybody's freedom. And, you know, it was during the hippie movement, and, you know, they were trying to get us out of there, and I totally understand that. And it was not a war that we really wanted to be in. And we didn't have a lot of controls over there, but for people to look down on you and think you're scum just because you're in the military, it's just wrong. And when I ended up getting out of the military 6.5 years later, to go to school. When I came home and got out of the military, I gave away everything. I gave away all my uniforms and anything really had to do with the military because I didn't want to be reminded of it. And that's wrong. And I wish I would have kept them. Well, we haven't talked about it yet, but there was, when I was in Vietnam, is when they, all of a sudden they issued us flak vests, helmets, and M16s, and we were told to carry them at all times. And there was, we found out right after they issued it to us, there was a warning that the Viet Cong could attack the base. And ended up being that they had the base, and this was a huge base, but they had the whole entire base surrounded with missiles that they were going to shoot into the base, and they had thousands, hundreds of thousands of troops lined up all around and hidden in the jungles around the base. But they were, and then they also had all these missiles and all the troops surrounded around Saigon too. And Saigon was a huge city back then. It was a, you know, it was the capital of South Vietnam. But the idea was that if we didn't come to some type of a peace treaty or that a troop withdrawal, then they were, we found out that they were just going to obliterate the base and everything. And this went on for about 3 days. And it was the only time I was really scared over there. And it was pretty fearful knowing that, you know, that they could come in and take over the base. And they had the ability to do that. And they had the people to do it. And what would, you know, if we were going to get killed right outright, or tortured, or what. So, but that went on for 3 whole days. And, you know, I can only picture myself in that versus these guys that are out in the jungles and fearing for their lives all the time and being shelled and waiting for other troops to come in and try and, you know, help them withdraw from that. But that affected me for quite a while. So, and it was, like I said, it was the only time that I was really scared.
And what
was going to happen to me. But it was war.
It was war.
Things happen in war. A lot of bad things. And I was lucky that I joined the Air Force and that I didn't end up on the front lines. But I was more than proud to be there and serving. And so I went there, volunteered twice, 3 months at a time out of a 15-month tour. I spent 6 months in Vietnam and 3 months at Karat Air Force Base in Thailand. And that was right off the front lines there. And but I wanted to be there to support the troops who were there and to do my part.